The last school that our community saw opened in 1973, and those freshmen are now 67 years old. The town that we live in hasn't prioritized building new schools for so long. And ultimately, I just think we have to start. I don't think there is a plan that is going to make everyone happy. And if we delay the CIP for another year, there is just no guarantee this is ever going to get off the ground.
I absolutely love this clip from the Milford Board of Education. That is board member Nicole Flowers. And during several hours that there was discussion going on at the most recent Board of Ed meeting to determine a master plan for the long-range facilities plan for the district, I thought board member Flowers really did a great job capturing the feeling of the Milford Board of Ed. This was not an easy or lightly decided plan. This was years in the making, a lot of public hearings, a lot of input, a consulting firm that was also hired, but ultimately a master long-range facilities plan was approved this week, and that plan does include closing down two elementary schools and an awful lot of construction work for the remaining schools across the district. Joining us now to talk more about this is Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Anna Kutaye, as well as Sue Glennon, who is the chair of the Milford Board of Education. Thank you both for being here. Really appreciate your time. And actually, Sue, if you don't mind, I kind of want to start with you because I also thought you echoed similar sentiments that Nicole did there, which was this is not going to make everyone happy and there are going to be concerns. And yes, we don't really know what's going to happen financially over the next 20 years, but this was a long time coming, in fact, overdue to start giving attention to these schools.
Good morning, Melissa. Yeah, I do agree with Nicole. And I think, you know, at the beginning of the discussion, I highlighted the history of Milford Public Schools just to show that we have gone through these periods of reorganization and renovation and change, but it's never been done with this forward-looking holistic plan that's been put into writing. And it is a long time coming. It was kind of stark when we look at it. We had a chart that we could see when the buildings were built, when additions were done. It is very stark to see, especially at the elementary level, how long it's been since some of these buildings have received any kind of renovation.
Right. And if not now, we were talking about a delay to kind of start this process over when, again, the district has already invested time, energy, and honestly, money in a consulting firm. I mean, if you could kind of give, I know Dr. Kutaye has been amazing in coming on the show pretty frequently to keep us up to date with everything. But this consulting firm, from the board's perspective, how closely did you work with them and how effective do you think they were in this process?
Well, we work very closely with them, and the reality is that we charged them with some very specific tasks, and that those were board decisions. So when they came on board, you know, they knew that they had to look for land for one high school. They knew that we were looking to consolidate from 3 to 2 middle schools and from 8 to 6 elementary schools. Those decisions had already been made. So we asked them, how do we get from plan A to plan B? Help us do that, using their expert opinion and their past experiences. So I think, you know, they were very effective in helping us walk through different scenarios. We even considered things that the public had given us, some ideas the public had given us. And they, you know, they were able to really very clearly look at see the challenges to some of the things that were proposed, the pros and the cons, so that we could make an informed decision.
We basically knew we were going to consolidate 8 elementary schools to 6, the 3 middle schools to 2. We knew that both high schools were going to stay intact but get renos, not rebuilds. But it seemed like when I was watching, and again, this was about a 4-hour meeting, so I did the best I could to kind of watch it and kind of skim through it at 3 o'clock in the morning the next day. But it seemed like the elementary schools were not going to be total knockdown start overs, but renovations.
We envision the elementary schools being rebuilds.
So those are rebuilds.
Yes. Well, Pumpkin Delight, because it just had some renovation done to it, may just be a renovation. But we envision for the other schools, they need to be rebuilds. Particularly the first phase, which will be JF Kennedy School and Live Oak School, which are on either end of town. They literally have not been touched in over 30 years.
Okay.
And so they will absolutely be rebuilds. We envision the middle schools to be rebuilds because of the extensive needs of special programming, you know, career, college and career tech ed, special education, which is a big part of this, and didn't get a lot of discussion, but, you know, that this is a big part of this as well. And then as we move through the process, certainly the funding that we get from the city will potentially dictate how some of the rest of it plays out. But, you know, the hope is that certainly the first two elementary schools absolutely need to be rebuilt.
Okay.
And those will be done on site. So there's enough room on that property, those properties, to rebuild, build a new school on a different part of the property.
Okay. So I'm horrible at math, Sue. So I want to make sure that I've got the number of rebuilds. So you said both middle schools will be rebuilds versus like the two high schools. Those are renos. Like those aren't being rebuilt.
I believe those will be renos.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought too. So the two middle schools are rebuilds. And then how many elementary schools? All six are rebuilds?
Well, we hope that all six will be rebuilt.
Okay.
That's the hope, is that all six will be, because they are all 50 to 75 years old.
Got it.
So by the time we get to the end of this, you know, in another 10 years, they'll be that much older. They are not getting any younger.
No. No, certainly not. Okay. So, all right. So you're looking at potentially eight rebuilds, two renos.
Yes.
Okay. And then when I was looking at the scheduling, if you will, it looked like, I know there were concerns about how long kids will be kind of in construction sites, but it seemed like it kind of thoughtfully tried to make sure kids were never in a construction zone for, dare I say, more than 2 to 4 years, give or take. I don't know if I've got that right, though.
Well, you know, the construction is estimated to be 2 years. And we did tweak the timeline a little bit. We asked the consultant to look at the timeline, and there was a slight tweak to it, so that really the JFK and Live Oaks construction is estimated to start in the 29-30 school year and be completed in the 30-31 school year, so that in school year 31-32, that will be done. And then kids would swing over to Harborside for the West Shore renovation, so in the 2031-32 school year, for 2 years. So it's their 2 year increments for construction. And, you know, when a child swings into a different school, the other change that we made was to make sure that elementary school kids would swing into elementary space and middle school kids would swing into middle school space. And they'll swing with their peers, with their teachers. They're just going to shift from one building to another. And, you know, the board is committed to making sure that those transitions are handled with care and that things run, you know, as smoothly as they can. But we know our staff will do a phenomenal job helping with these kinds of transitions with kids. So from my perspective, the construction period is a 2 year period.
Okay.
And for schools where we cannot build on the same piece of property, those children will have to swing into some swing space, so they won't be in the midst of any construction.
We are chatting with Sue Glennon, who is the chair of the Milford Board of Education. And the board this week approved a master long-range facilities plan. This is impacting all of the schools in the district. It does include consolidating three middle schools to two, which we had already seen approval for that last year, as well as eight elementary schools to six. During that meeting, Sue, there was a parent who got up at one point and had suggested allowing parents to, if they want to move their kid to another elementary school, especially because of either, you know, focusing issues, special needs, having the ability to like sign a waiver to move their child. I don't know if that was anything discussed during this meeting or if it was something that the board will talk about in the future, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Sure. Well, I think it's important again to point out that at this point, there's only two schools that will have construction going on during when kids are in the other building. So that wouldn't really relate to the other schools because they'll go into swing spaces. But that's a policy issue that would have to be considered by the board at the time. You know, we're still a few years away from any construction starting. There's a lengthy process. This was just the beginning. There's a lengthy process that we still have to go through to get the ball rolling with funding and then construction. So that's that type of decision would be considered by whatever board is in place at the time when we get closer to that period. But certainly, you know, there's lots of different things that we can do with transitions. We can consider grandfathering kids in as we retire schools. You can retire schools in phases. So again, you know, the board is committed to making sure that we work holistically with everybody to try to create a really good pattern for transition.
And we've got Dr. Anu Kutaye now on the line as well, Superintendent of Schools. Dr. Kutaye, thank you so much.
Good
morning. So I wanted to ask, I know that this is still going to be kind of done over, it seems like about a 20-year period, which we have talked about many times in the past, for around $1.5 billion. That's in total everything. I think one of the concerns that came up during this meeting, it seemed like consistently, which I think is a fair concern, is do you worry at all about delays considering we've seen budget cuts in the past, not just in Milford, but across the state of Connecticut, certainly for education budgets? Do you worry about that at all?
You mean delays in getting funding for construction?
Yes.
Well, I think those worries are mitigated because we've been working with the Board of Ed and been very open and transparent about our communication about wanting to build new buildings. So the next step, as Ms. Glennon has mentioned, is now it's just the first step. So we have next steps to continue to work with our elected officials. So that's the process we go through every year, actually, Melissa. This is not a new process. We bring to the city capital improvement projects all the time that are in the amounts of millions of dollars. For example, we renovated Pumpkin. We are now doing the tech ed space at Law. So I'm a little worried because of the amount, but I'm comforted in that it is stretched over a 20-year period. And the funding actually is stretched over 40 years. So while this is a 20-year plan, the bonding would extend well beyond that, therefore, you know, decreasing the impact on the taxpayer, albeit there will be an impact.
Well, and the thing, too, and I don't want to talk out of turn, but I believe it actually, Sue, I think it was you who did mention in your closing statement before the vote that the Board of Aldermen has not always been on board with the investments the Board of Ed needs in Milford. So that did sound like that was a concern. So even though, to your point, Dr. Kutaye, yes, Milford's been, I think, very, very transparent about their plans and what they want to do for the schools and why the schools need it, do you worry that you will get the financial support that you need approved to make sure there are no delays?
So when it comes to money, there's always a worry, right, Melissa, that I'd be lying if I didn't say yes. And it's important to note that our general budget process is separate from the capital improvement process. So the budget has been difficult the last few years. This year, grateful to our elected officials, it was approved without any reduction. I think there is a general understanding across our city that we need to do something with our school buildings. And if we're not building new and we're not closing schools, which is not an option, then we have to renovate. If you just take a walk through Live Oaks or Calf Pen or Harborside, you know that those buildings are not in good condition and our city could do better for our kids. So I think there's a general understanding that we need to do something.
And I believe,
so, yeah.
Yeah, I believe the last time, Dr. Kutaye, you and I were talking, at that point, we were only going to see, I think, a redistrict once. Does that still stand with this master plan?
I won't speak for the board, but I think the board has been pretty clear that they want to redistrict once, right, Ms. Glennon?
Yes, that is the plan. You know, I would say that I might qualify that and say that each child is only redistricted once. I think we have to look at how that will play out in terms of whether we do it all at once, whether we do phases of redistricting. But certainly, right. we don't want to have to redistrict multiple times over the course of 10 or 20 years. It should really just be once.
But I see what you're saying, Sue. So if I'm understanding correctly, that a kid will go through redistrict once, but it may not be a full sweep, all the thousands of students in Milford all getting redistricted at one time, because it's going to impact at different points.
Correct. We still have to talk about that. But I could see that as a potential as well. But certainly, we do not want to be disrupting kids unnecessarily. And parents have been very clear about that. Parents do not like redistricting, but it does have to happen periodically.
I think, though, Dr. Gutaya, correct me if I'm wrong, Milford hasn't redistricted in a while, though. Not to say that I'm not.
Years.
Okay.
10 years.
I was going to say, I'm a Milford parent. I'm a little bit concerned about the redistricting. I got to be honest. That's just me, because I know my kid's got his people and he's worried about losing his people. But every kid, I'm sure, feels that way.
Yep.
But I wasn't sure. I didn't think Milford's redistricted in a while.
Yeah, the last time we redistricted was when we went back to a K-5 configuration after we had. So Simon Lake School was closed in 2010, and the district converted to a K-2-3-5 sister school feeder pattern.
Got it.
And then we went back to K-5, I think it was 2015-16, and that's when we redistricted.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I know that there
are... To your point about redistricting, actually the new, in the future, while we don't have it all figured out, our plan is to create feeder pattern, like a 3 elementary school that feeds into 1 middle that feeds into 1 high. Right now, you have disruption in their people. Some kids lose their people from going to elementary, to middle, and then to a different high school.
We have that,
Dr. Gutaya. So actually, we're going to clean that up, actually, in the future.
Oh,
that
actually makes me feel so much better, because, yes, that's actually the current system right now. My kid loses his 3 best friends right now. They're going to a separate high school than him. So, yes, that's actually a huge concern. That's without the redistricting. So that's, I'm thinking
so
maybe.
I think that's an example of a plus that comes out of this. And I know for good reason our board and our team have talked about all the possible consequences, but I think just a little shining light, if we can, Melissa, that our kids are going to have 21st century learning spaces that are accommodating to the kind of learning that is happening today in 2026, not what was happening in 1950, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the positive is the great physical learning spaces, but also we get to clean up that feeder system too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, certainly.
A
listen,
lot of the things that have come out of this.
I think that change is hard. I think change is hard for everybody. But again, I really loved what Nicole said, which was, if we don't do it now, when? And all we're doing is letting these buildings just age. I mean, I think everybody wants the best for their kids. But unfortunately, that does mean some major changes. And not everyone's going to be happy about it. But I think, again, I think there's a lot of collaboration going on. There's been a lot of public hearings on it. And again, it comes with its concerns, certainly. But, to just sit on it and delay it more, I don't know if that was the solution. I don't know if that was the solution. So I think I feel like the board really, made the right call to at least go forward and be like, let's just get this started. Let's do something.
Right.
Let's effectively do something. Right. So I'm going to link the website if people want to see those plans, see, the presentation, everything. They can go online. When is there a next meeting where, if people want to engage? I always say they can live stream and everything. But is there anything you want people to be aware of, dates, anything like that?
Well, at our Committee of the Whole meeting on May 26th, we will kind of incorporate the beginning of this plan into our capital improvement plan that has to go to the city. But I also want to say that, we're going to continue to communicate with families. We're working on a kind of a one-pager to encapsulate what we did on Monday and what the next steps would be. This is not the end of the conversation. We've been very clear about that. We meet generally the second and fourth Monday of each month. The summertime's a little different. We get a little bit of a break, us volunteers. But we certainly encourage parents to stay involved.
Well, I want to thank you both for being very transparent and giving us the time to talk through this, especially over the last couple of years. I know it's been a long time coming, and I know this is not going to be the last time we talk about it. Again, if people want more information, we're going to link it to their podcast on our website, voiceofct.com. Sue Glennon, chair of the Milford Board of Education, and Dr. Anna Kutaye, superintendent of schools in Milford, thank you both so much.